Good morning. Today's Daf and Yuma Yud Test. We are on the very top of Yud Test Amud Aleph. We are starting with a Gemara with a Braisa. We just concluded with a Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah described how the Kohen Gadol now would be handed over from the Ziknei Beis Din to the Ziknei Kahuna. They would bring him to the Beis Avtinas. Now, the Mishnah did not explain why he was brought to the Beis Avtinas. That's going to be our first discussion of today. It's going to be covering the first Amud of today's Daf. So that is something to look forward to. And then the Mishnah described how a Shvuah was made. So they told him we'll get to the Lashon a little bit later on. But the Mishnah says, Anushuche Beisin Ba'atashuchenu. We are the agents of Beisin. You're our agent. And Vishliach Beisin. And you also happen to be the agent of Beisin as well. So, and they make a Shvuah that basically you're not going to deviate from any of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. You'll do it as you're supposed to do it. Now, as we're going to be learning later this morning, so the reason why such a shvuah was made, oh, you don't think he's going to do it the way he was supposed to do it? And as we're going to learn later this morning, no, he may deviate. And the reason for deviation is historical in nature and has to do with the fact that there were sectarian groups, and we'll come back to that later on. Everyone will walk away from that meeting crying. It wasn't an uplifting meeting. And then the Mishnah described how he would be kept up the whole night, because now we're moving ahead, we're advancing, and now we're at Lel Yom Kippur, and so he will be doing an all-nighter. He would not be going to bed, and so from here until the remainder of the perek, so we're going to be discussing what he's going to be doing over the course of the evening and in the morning. It's Yom Kippur, there's not a whole lot you could do over the course of the evening, but he would be up and learning. We're going to describe that over the course of the next couple of days, including today. Okay, that's what's coming up. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara begins with a braisa, Tana Lalamdo Chamfina. Rashi understands that we're describing over here now what is happening in the Beis Avtinas. In the Beis Avtinas, he's going to be learning how to do the Chamfina. The Chamfina is going to be taking the Ketores in his hands. It's more complicated than that. In fact, later in the Masechta, we're going to learn exactly how complicated a process is. It's not just simply cupping the Ketores in his hands. It's actually transferring it from the spoon into his hands, and no one's there to help him. And there are two handfuls of the Ketores. So that is going to be a really neat feat in which the Kohen Gadol is going to be transferring the Ketores from the spoon into his hands, and it's two spoonfuls two handfuls, I should say, of Ketores, and all that's going to be unassisted. Okay, how does that happen? So later in the Masechta, we'll get slightly more detail in terms of how exactly that happens, but suffice right now to say, it's a skill. It's a skill that needs practice, and it needs a little bit of training as well. So that's what's happening in the Beis Avtinas. Amra Papash Lishkos Hayula Lekohen Gadol. So now we can summarize basically the two Lishkos that were operated by the Kohen. I'd say owned by the Kohen, but it's the Beis Hamikdash. Nobody owns anything, but basically assigned, associated to the Kohen Gadol. So, and Rav Papa says that if you take everything that we learned in our Masechta up until now, so the discovery is that you're going to find that there actually are two offices shaykh to the Kohen Gadol. So Shei Lishkos Hayu LeKohen Gadol, Achas Lishkos Barhejim, Achas Lishkos Beis Avtinas, Achas Betzafan, Achas Bedaron. So there are two Lishkos for the Kohen Gadol. One is Lishkos Barhejim, that we opened up our Masechta with. And Dav Beis Med Aleph, a description of where he would sleep at night. So he would sleep in the Lishkos Barhejim. Now we just described in our Mishnah, in yesterday's Daf, that in order to learn about the Chafina, so he would go to the Lishkos Avtinas, the Beis Avtinas. And that was also thereabouts the Azara. Now, Achas Bedarim v'Achas Betzafon, one's in the south and one's in the north. Now, based on just the way the Gemara presented the order, so it sounds like the Lishkas Parhedron's in the south and Lishkas Beis Avtinas is in the north. Okay, and what we're going to do now for the remainder of today's Amud is we're going to substantiate that very point. And did not, so we're going to start with the Mishnah. So we're back to the Mishnah of Midos. Okay, we have spent a lot of time here in the first parak of Yuma, going through a number of Mishnayos and Midos, but this is not a tangent. This is going to just simply be used to help us identify where the Lishkas Avtinas is and where the Lishkas Parhedron is. So Vav Lishkos Hayu Be'Azara. So there were six Lishkos around the Azara. Okay, the Gimel Betzafon, Gimel Bedaron, three in the north and three in the south. Again, if you have a picture, if you have any kind of pictorial aid, a visual aid, so it would be extraordinarily helpful just to help you visualize it and see it. So I happen to be, I don't have one right now, but it's fine. Now, basically, as we described already numerous times, and when we went through the Mishnayos, both in Midos and in Tamid, so we gave a description, aside from the entrances that go into the Azara, Over here today, we're going to be describing basically 7 interests that go into the Azara. On other occasions, we describe 13 interests that go into the Azara. And yes, it gets a little bit confusing, but for today, let's assume that there are 7 entrances. Aside from that, we're also talking about offices that go around the Azara as well, meaning that basically somewhere either within the interior or the exterior of the Azara, of those walls of the Azara, so you're going to have offices. And the Mishnah Midos over here is describing 3 of them, 3 up in the north and 3 down in the south. And the Mishnah goes on to describe Shebedaram, the ones that are in the south. So now we're talking about basically 3 contiguous offices that exist on the south, on the southern side of the Azara. And they are Lishkas HaMelech, Lishkas HaParva, Lishkas HaMedichin. So the Lishakos of Salt, Parva, and Madichin. So we're going to explain each one of them. We're running through the Mishnah over here. Again, there's an objective. The objective over here is to identify where Lishkas Parhedrin is and where the base of Tinas is, but we're just simply running through the Mishnah. Lishkas HaMelech, Shama Yunosti Melech LeKarban. So in our 3 southern offices, so one of them is the salt room, and as you would suspect, that's where the salt is to be found. All the karbanos are going to be salted before going up onto the mizbeach, and so the salt is located right there. Lishkas HaParva, Shishama Yomolchin Oros Kachim. So the Lishkas HaParva, so there, that's where they would salt the hides that were going to be going up the rest of the carbon went up onto the mizbeach. The Algaga Haisa Beis Tefila LeKohen Gadol BeYom HaKippurim. Now on its rooftop was a Beis Tefila for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now that is that's an engineering feat. Basically, what you have is a mikvah that is not subterranean, it's not even ground level. But rather, what you have is you have a mikvah that is a second floor. So it is rather, it's a rather incredible engineering feat in terms of how they got the water up there, getting the water up there without the water being put into a kli. Okay. So the lishkas hamadichim, so that's where they would wash out the intestines of the animals, the karbanos. Umisham misiva ola lagag beis haparva, and from there there was a misiva, some sort of staircase, a circular staircase that went up to the beis haparva. Okay, so those are a description of the gimel shebedarim. Taptosus over here points out that it seems like we have a room dedicated to the cleaning of the intestines. Don't we have an area in the Azara itself, right? The tables in the Azara, the shulchanos in the Azara, aren't they used for the cleaning out of the karbanos? Why do we also have a room on top of that? Tosus raises that question. Tosus responds, you can see the top Tosus on the Amud. Hadar min la'el, the shulchanos hayu ba'azar la'adich aleim ha'kachim, uchidichsiv be'ejib yecheskel. So Tosus notes that we have Mishnayos and Pesukim in Tanakh that describe how there are tables in the Azara itself for cleaning. So yesh lamar, debasar kachim adichin al shulchanos aval kirvi kachim, sheish ba'em perish u'mi'isi medichin osam belishkas medichin. Okay, so he gives a wonderful answer. He says that when it comes to the cleaning of the meat, so that's done in the Azara, on the tables in the Azara. But here we're talking about cleaning the intestines. It's really dirty. It's disgusting. And obviously what you're going to get out of it is you're going to get excrement out of it while you're cleaning it out. So to be doing that in the open public, it's not covered. So Tosa suggests that the room over here was dedicated to that particular cleansing, the cleansing of the intestines of the animals. They are totally right. That's accurate, right? You see it. So they're on opposite sides, and right. And based on Tosas' answers, the intestines have to be schlepped down to the south side. I mean, you're not talking about a major, major schlep, but yeah, you're right. Gimel Shebet Safon. We're now talking about the 3 that are in the north: Lishkas Ha'etz, Lishkas Ha'Gola, Lishkas Ha'Gazis. So they are the Lishkos of Wood, Gola, and Gazis. So I'm Lishkas Ha'etz. I'm a Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Shachachti Ma'isa Mishameshes. So I can tell you for sure what it's not used for. It's not used for wood. Now you would think it would be used for the wood, storage of the wood, but it's not, because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that he does not remember what it was used for. This is now the second time in the Mishnayos and Midos that we've seen right here in Yuma where Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, I forgot. Okay, and then exactly historically when did he live? So we speculated. Answers, I don't know. That's really where it comes down to. But Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is admitting that he does not know what is in the Lishkas Ha'etz. So clearly the word Eitz over here is not a reference to the wood on the Mizbeach. Right? That would seem to be the obvious choice, but whatever. It's not the case. So Abba Shalom or Lishkas Kohen Gadol Haisa Achori Shteyan. So, Abba Shalom describes how the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol Now, we don't know which one. Remember, there are two to choose from. So the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol was immediately behind them. The Gag Shloshim Shavah, and it happens to be that the roof that went over these three contiguous offices was one flat roof that went across. Lishka Sagola, Shama Yabor Agola V'Agalgal Nasun Alav, Umishama, speak in mind, L'chol Azara. Now the Lishka Sagola, so that's where the Boragola was. There was a well over there, some sort of cistern, and some sort of wheel, some sort of pulley system in terms of how to get the water out there. And that's basically where the water was supplied for the entire Azara. The Azara was flooded in order to clean it out, right? They stopped up the, there was some sort of drainage system. They stopped it up. They opened the, allowed the water to go in. The floor of the Azara was flooded. And then they opened up the drainage system, and that's how they would clean out the Azara. Lishka Sagazis, and finally Lishka Sagazis, I'd say the most popular of the three, the one we all know. So Shama Yusanhedrin, Shayisol, Yoshevis Vadanas Kohanim. So that's where the Sanhedrin would sit, on the Lishka Sagazis. Umisha Nimtzabo Psul, now anyone who finds himself to be disqualified, any Kohen finding himself to be disqualified. So Hayalovish Choros Mesatev Shchorim. We put on black clothing, V'yatzava Halachlo, and would exit. V'shalo Nimtzabo Psul. Now if you're Kohen who's not Psul, otherwise stated you're eligible to do the Avoda. Hayalovish Levanim and Mesatev Levanim. So you'd be wearing white clothing. And you'd be doing the avoda together with the rest of the Kohanim. Achas bidaram didnan. Okay, now, here's what we've just established. We've just established this Mishnah Midos, that there are a whole bunch of offices that are around the Azara, the three to the north, three to the south. And so in this Mishnah Midos, so the whole reason that we went through the Mishnah Midos, the part that we want to sift out of there is that there was office space for the Kohen Gadol. And it happened to have been in the north. Okay, good. So far we've identified one office to the Kohen Gadol that's in the north. Achas Bedarim Didnan. So here we are now with another Mishnah Midos. So this Mishnah Midos, Shiva Sha'arim Hayu, Ba'azara, there are seven entrances into the Azara. So as I already mentioned, so it can get a little bit confusing in terms of the total number of entrances that go into the Azara. Sometimes we're going to hear the number seven, sometimes we're going to hear the number 13. Okay, this Mishnah Midos gives us seven. So good, so it's seven to work with. So Gimel B'Tzafon, Gimel B'Darom, three in the north, three in the south. V'achas B'Mizrach, and there's one in the east. Shebedarom, and the three that are in the, three that are in the south. Shar Dleika, Sheni Lo Shar HaKarban, Shlishi Lo Shar HaMayim. So the Shar of Dleika, Karban, and Mayim. Rashi over here, as he usually is, when he does not know. So Rashi says, Shar Dleika, Shar HaKarban, Lo Yedat, Lamini Kreshmam Kach. So why, these are gates, by the way, these are not rooms. So why is the Shar HaDleika and the Shar HaKarban called those names? So Rashi says, I don't know. The Shar HaMayim, so Rashi says, I do know. So the Shar HaMayim says, Rashi, so that's where water was brought in on Sukkos. So the procedure, the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, which we're going to be describing in detail in the fifth parak of Sukkah. So the water is drawn from the Shiloach and it's brought through the Shar HaMayim. Okay, so those are the three southern gates going into the Azara. Sheb and Mizrach, the eastern gate, we're all familiar with Sharnikanor. So that's the Sharnikanor, Vishte Lashakos Hayusham, Achas Bimina Vachas Bismalo. And then there were two side doors to the Sharnikanor. One to the right, one to the left. Achas Lishkas Pinchas Amabish, Vachas Lishkas Osei Chavitim. One belonged to Pinchas Amabish, that was a tailor. In the base of Mikdash, make sure all the Kohanim's clothing fit correctly. So you'd pay a visit to the Lishka Pinchas Amabish, which seemingly is to the right. Right, where the Mishnah is not super clear about which one was to the right, which one's to the left. But if I'm just simply following the order that's presented in the Mishnah, I'll assume that it is the one to the right. And again, I'm just assuming. I don't know if I'm right. But as you're entering, so he could be found to the right. And the one to the left is Yosei Chavitim. The Kohen Gadol would be offering a carbon daily, the Minchas Chavitin. And so that Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, which is offered daily, is prepared on the other entrance of the Sharnikanor. So that is the east. The Mishnah counts it as one, obviously. So because it's three to the south, three to the north. So therefore it's one to the east. So basically it's the Sharnikanor with its, you know, with its sub-gates, if you will. Those two gates are categorically under the Sharnikanor gate. Shebet Safon. Now we're talking about the gates that find themselves to the north. So Shar Nitzotz. So you have the Shar Nitzotz. Rashi over here doesn't comment, but okay. So you have the Shar Nitzotz. Binyan Achsadra Haya. So it was like a Achsadra, looked like a pavilion. The Aliyah Benuya Lo Al Gabav, and it had some sort of second floor. Visham Kohanim Shomrim Malamala Levi Malamata. So in this particular entrance structure, so you had the Kohanim guarding from above and the Levim below. Right? In the Mishnayos and Tamid, in the Masechta Tamid, so we went through the guarding of the Beis HaMikdash. So over here on this particular entrance, so you had double guard duty. You had the Kohanim on the second floor and the Levim on the first floor. Vishlefnim Heimenu Hachel. Now, interior to that is the Chel. The Chel, seemingly some sort of area immediately in front of the Azara. We described it a little bit more. We talked about how the Sarig is a some sort of fence that goes around the Chel. Sheni Lo Shar HaKarban. Next to that is the Shar HaKarban. Remember, these are now the gates, the Shar HaKarban. Previously, we described the Lishkas HaKarban, but okay. Here we have the Shar HaKarban. And Shlishi Lo Shar Beis HaMalkan. And the third entrance on the northern side is the Shar Beis HaMalkan, which presumably is the Beis HaMalkan, right? Meaning, and we described already the last couple of days in detail, the Beis HaMalkan, an extraordinarily large room found on the north side of the Azara, divided into four quadrants. In each one of the quadrants, you had subrooms within the Beis HaMalkan. We already spent a lot of time discussing it earlier in this parak. Vitanya, and again, we're quoting all this because we want to get to one singular point, and that is that we want to identify an office for the Kohen Gadol. Chamish Vilas Vasar Kiddushin Tova Kohen Gadol Mekash Babayam. So we're going to see this later in the Masechta, about a week and a half from now, that the Kohen Gadol would end up tovaling on Yom Kippur five times. He would be washing his hands and feet 10 times in total. V'chulam Bekodesh Al Gag Beis HaParva. And it would all be done, big Kodesh, it would be done in the Azara, on the rooftop of the Beis HaParva, Chutz Mizu, with exception to the first one of the morning. Sha'isa Bechol Al Gabe Sharamayim, and that was done over the Sharamayim. Uvitzad Lishka So Haisa. And it was right next to his Lishka. There it is. So in this Braisa, so we're describing his Lishka that was next to the Sharamayim. So, fine. So what we've just established now, by learning a couple of Mishnayos together in Midos, coupled with the Braisa that we just saw together, so we just established that the Kohen Gadol has two Lishkos, which is Rav Papa's thesis of this morning, right? Rav Papa says that one of the Lishkos that he went into was what our Mishnah in Yuma describes as the Beis Avtinas. Notice, by the way, that we just went through a whole series of Mishnayos in Tamid, and we haven't seen the word Beis Avtinas, but basically now we're piecing the puzzle together. So what Rav Papa is saying is that really there are two office spaces for the Kohen Gadol, two rooms that are shach for the Kohen Gadol, one's in the north and one's in the south, and we're going to be able to identify what those rooms are and which one's in the north and which one's in the south. So far now, with all the information that we just compiled together, so now we know that the Kohen Gadol has got an office in the north and an office in the south. That's basically what we've established so far by learning the Mishnayos in Midos and also and a supplementary Braisa. But right now, given that we have so far pieced a good amount of information together, we're still missing the following. We know, based on our Mishnah here in Yuma, that one of the offices is the Lishkas Parhejan, the other one is the Beis Avtinas. And we know, the Mishnah Tamid tells us that one of those offices are in the north and one of those offices in the south. We just simply know which one's located in the north and which one's located in the south. So now what we're going to be doing is that we're gonna suggest, based on a little bit of reasoning, which one was in the north, which one was in the south. At this point in time, we know already, Rashi here spells it out, that the Lishkas Parhedrin, so that's basically where he would sleep. That was his lodging. So we've said that since the beginning of the Masechta, right, Tosos already asked a couple of times in our Masechta, how is he sleeping in the Lishkas Parhedrin? Lishkas Parhedrin seemingly is Bakodesh, it's in the Azara. You're not even allowed to sit in the Azara. Goes without saying you're not allowed to sleep. So Tosos asked that question. One of Tosos' answers that he provided earlier in the Perek is that the entrance of the Lishkas Parhedrin went into the Harabayas, and so therefore it had the status of the Harabayas, even though structurally it was in the Azara. So that's what we know so far. Mistabra. So the Gemara says, so here's what I think is most reasonable to suggest. And that is Lishkas Parhedrin Bedarom. Lishkas Parhedrin finds itself in the south, Havai, and obviously by process of elimination, that would mean that the base of Tinus would be up there in the north. Okay, my time. So why would that be? In other words, why is that the most reasonable presentation of where the Lishkas Parhedrin is to be found in the south? That's right, so it's rather remarkable. Daf Yutes, we're 19 dapim into the Masechta. We've already identified Lishkas Parhedrin in Mishnah number 1, but now when all said and done, after we've learned now that there's a second space to the Kohen Gadol in the Azara, so now we finally have not totally identified, but much better identified where the Lishkas Parhedrin was. It's in the south side of the Azara. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's most reasonable to suggest that. Taima Maktim Ka Umesech Es Raglav. So the Gemara says, because under normal circumstances, here's what would happen. He would wake up in the morning, he would urinate of a tovel, and then he would tovel. Now the tefillah that he would done would be for two reasons. One is because after urination, in order to do the avoda, or after any kind of relieving, so you have to tovel the mikvah. The Kohen has to tovel the mikvah before doing the avoda. In addition to that, it also happens to be that he wakes up in the morning. Waking up in the morning, so he also needs to tovel before doing the avoda. Fine. That's true in general. In other words, but the Lishkas Parhedrin was shaykh for him, you know, just more right, we're describing the whole week as well. So, Umesach has raglav. The tovel, he would tovel in the mikvah. Now, the azulaf safam v'gamar chafina. And so now let's just go over his flight path. Now, he's walking. So now, but let's go over the basic layout. So now, presumably, what he would then do is that he would then, now remember, in terms of the tefillah, so that morning tefillah was done in the south, as we just established a little bit earlier in the daf. So, fine. So he'd wake up in the morning, he would relieve himself, and then he would go tovel the mikvah there in the south. Now he would gamar chafina. Now he would learn how to do the chafina. So we just established that the chafina was done in the base of Tinus, and the base of Tinus is in the north. Fine. So that would be now his first walk from the south to the north. Now he would go to the base of Mikdash and he would do the avoda. Now he would do the avoda, meaning on the 7 days of the hachana, of the hafrasha. So remember, he would be doing avoda all 7 of those days. So kula yoma, and that would take the whole day. Lebehade panya, now as it gets close to sunset, so madu aleha, so they would sprinkle him with the paraduma. So remember, a debate that we had earlier in the Masechta, whether the sprinkling was done on days 3 or day 7, or it was done on all 7 days. Regardless, they would sprinkle him with the paraduma. You also remember, we learned earlier in the Masechta, there is an opinion that if you don't need the sprinkling of the paraduma, and you got sprinkled with the paraduma, so that means that you have to tovel in the mikvah. It makes you tameh. Right, that was a machlokas satanayim, but there is an opinion that says that it makes you tameh. So what do you do? Now the tumah of being sprinkled unnecessarily with the mechatas, it only makes you tameh for a day, meaning you tovel in the mikvah, you experience harif shemesh, and then you will be tahor. So if you recall, so one of the strategies that we said is that the way he could do the avoda and be sprinkled with the paraduma, with the mechatas, is very simple. You do the work, you do the avoda during the day, and as you approach nightfall, so you get sprinkled with a mechatas, immediately you tovel in the mikvah, and then you have a hair of shemesh, and that's what we're describing right now. V'hadar azol adarim v'tovel v'nayach. And then he would go back down to the south, he would tovel, and then he would retire for the evening. Okay, so basically, if we're assuming that the Parhedrin's in the south, and the base of Tinus is in the north, so now he only had to go walk 2 times. One from the south to the north, and again back from the north down to the south. Now, it makes it sound like we're talking about a lengthy walk. We're not talking about a lengthy walk. We're talking about the Azara, right? The total length from the Azara from north to south. We just did this recently. I hope I remember correctly. So it's 135 amos. Okay, 135 amos. So you're talking about approximately, right? The length of a football field. Approximately. Okay. Anyway, so, right, we're not talking about a major hike. Okay, but still, it minimizes the amount of work. It's efficient. That's the point of the Gemara. It's just simply an efficient way to do so. Iyamar lishkas parhedrin b'tzafon. So the Gemara says, because now, let's switch it around. Let's say the lishkas parhedrin's in the north. So now, here's what he's going to have to do. Maktim kayo mesach raglav. So then he's going to wake up in the morning, he's going to urinate vazel adarim v'tavil. So he's going to go down to the south to Tovah. Remember, the first tefillah in the morning is done in the south. That we've already established. So now he has to walk from the north to the south. V'gamar chafina, and there he's going to learn chafina. V'asi lebeis hamikdash v'avid avoda kula yama. And now he's going to do the avoda the entire day. L'hadi panya madu alaha. So then what they're going to do is that they're going to, immediately before sunset or shortly before sunset, they'll sprinkle him with a mechatas and v'hadar azol adarum. Then he's going to go down back to the south for Tavel, in order to Tavel, ubay mahadur mezel of Safa, and then he's going to have to go back to the north, umeinach, in order to retire for the evening. And so it's basically going to double his the amount that he has to walk. So the Gemara says that's why, based on that consideration, it would seem most obvious that Lishkash Parhejan is found in the south and the Beis Haftinus is found in the north. The Gemara says, okay, you know what? It is a consideration, but is it really going to dictate where to place everything? Sorry, that's the end of the Gemara's point. And we don't want to be Toriachim too much. We don't want to inconvenience them too much. So based on the consideration of convenience, so therefore it makes the most sense that the layout is the way we just described it. So the Gemara says, Alama lo. So the Gemara says, okay, let's suggest that he has to walk a little bit more than usual. The Gemara says, that's not a big deal. Not only is it not a big deal, you know, we generally encourage it. Mitrachin leitfei. So the Gemara says, don't we want to encourage him to walk a little bit more? Right? Aside from the good exercise that it provides. But on top of that, the itzaduki hu lifrish. So the Gemara says, look, first of all, the extra walking is good for him for a couple of reasons, says the Gemara. Number one, let's say he happens to be a tzaduki during Bayi Sheni, as we're going to be discussing later this morning. So that was a real concern. So maybe he was a tzaduki. So the extra walking is going to think to himself, you know what? Maybe it's not worth it. Look at all this walking I need to do. And inami shelo tazuch daito alav. Also, on top of that, we want him to become a more humbled individual. Okay, so we're going to go walking today, right? The Kohen Gadol every in the morning. You know, we got to walk a couple of times, more than a couple of times, four times in total, if that were in fact the case. Okay, so you know what? Your hard work, it's good. It's right aside from the character building and all that. So it basically it's humbling. Dilo te mahachi navdino tarvayo bahade hadade inami tiskele bechada. So the Gemara says. Even if the person was an Adam Kasher, so it would be good to have such a to have a Kohen be involved in this. And on top of that, sorry, and the last point of the Gemara is that why don't we just simply put the Lishkos right next to one another? Meaning, why is one in the north and why is one in the south? Meaning, if convenience were really the ultimate goal over here. Just put the two lishkos next to one another, and then the Kohen Gadol would have to do no walking whatsoever. Okay, so basically, where the Gemara landed on this entire discussion is that the argument of convenience is not the end all be all of arguments. And if that was all we had in terms of identifying that the Beis Haftinus was in the north and the Parajans in the south, it's not enough of an argument to really convince us. So, when all said and done, after the first half of today's daf, so what we've concluded is that the Kohen Gadol does have two lishkos. So we've established. That's the Mishnayos and Midos, together with the Braisa as well. And then the only question is that, and we also identified, what the usage is of those two rooms. One's the Parhejan where the Kohen sleeps during the Shivas, Yimei Afrasha. And one is the, where the Kohen Gadol is going to be learning and studying the, how to do the Chafina. That's in the Beis Haftinus. What we're not totally convinced about by the end of the first half of today's daf is which one's in the south and which one's in the north. We know one's in the south. We know one's in the north. That we know for sure. And the Gemara just simply not totally convinced which one's which. Okay. Amar lo ishi kohen gadol lemitav itiyufta deravuna berei derav Yeshua. There is a Gemara in Adarim, which the Gemara here is going to mention just very briefly. And that is the idea that that when the Kohanim do the avoda, so they are serving as agency. They're shlichim. And who are the agents of? The agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the agents of us. And the Gemara Nedarim goes back and forth. It's a long, much longer sugya over there in the Gemara Nedarim. And so the Gemara over here makes short order of this whole discussion. So the Gemara says over here very simply that our Mishnah over here seems to be an absolute refutation of the position of Rav Huna Berei Yeshua. The Amar Rav Huna Berei Rav Yeshua, Hani Kanish Shluchei Derachmaninu. So Rav Huna Berei Rav Yeshua says that the Kohanim are Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to argue, what are you going to say, that they're our shlichim? You can't say that there are shlichim are on the top of the Amud Beis. So mi ika mita da'anan lo matzina l'me'avad v'shluchi didan matzo me'avdei. So how could it possibly be? Meaning shlichus, the way we understand it in the most conventional sense, is that basically you're my proxy, right? You're me. That's shlichus, simply put. So under those circumstances, so can I do the avoda? I'm not a kohen. The answer, of course, is no. I can't do the avoda. So how can I have a proxy doing the avoda when I myself can't do it? Oh, so it must be that he's not my shlich. He's a shlich of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the argument that's given by Rav Huna Brei D'Rav Yeshua. It seems to be a pretty compelling argument. Anyway, the Gemara Nedarim in a much longer sugya goes over his position and goes over the back and forth in terms of who is he the shliach of? Shliach of the Kadosh Baruch Hu or our shliach? So that's his position. To which our Gemara now says, Hachi Kamerlei. Sorry. Before we get, that's the answer already. So the question is if you look carefully at the Lashon of our Mishnah, so our Mishnah clearly is of the position that he is our shliach. That's the Lashon that we use when addressing the Kohen Gadol. You're our shliach. Seems to be pretty clear. Okay, Tosus on the Amud Beis, first Tosus on the Amud Beis. So he goes over the back and forth. It's just, you have to compare our sugya to the Gemara and Nedarim, and you have to note that of all the things that the Gemara Nedarim doesn't bring as a raya to this discussion, the Gemara Nedarim doesn't bring our mission, our discussion. Okay. Tosus, he attempts to try to clarify. But the point is that our Mishnah seems to be very clear that he's our shliach. To which the Gemara's response is, we're now on the top of your Testament base, so hachi kamri lei. So the Gemara says, okay, here's how you could read our Mishnah. Mashbim anu alecha al datin v'al das beis din. When the Mishnah says that you're our shliach, that's not in terms of the avoda. No. In terms of the avoda, let's say like Rav Huna Brei D'Rav Yeshua. He's a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In terms of, what does it mean on behalf of us, on behalf of us? That's talking about the shvua, meaning al da'atenu. Don't think you're making the shvua on your terms, you're making the shvua on our terms, right? We discussed this numerous times, especially in Adarim. The idea of a shvua is that if you make a shvua based on your terms, so the shvua is now on your terms. However, when we want to make sure that the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the avoda appropriately, correctly, based on our Masara, so we say to him, look, not on your terms, meaning if you're a tzaduki, not the way you think the avoda should be done, but rather al da'atenu. It's got to be on our terms. Okay, that's how you understand the Mishnah, and that's how the Mishnah does not become a referendum on whether or not the Kohen serving as our shliach, as a Kadosh Baruch Hu shliach. It really does not, and it doesn't get involved in that discussion at all. Who porish ubocha vein porish ubochen? Okay, everyone's upset after that meeting, right? This annual meeting ends up in crying. Everyone's crying. So who porish ubocha shachashtu it's tzaduki. So he's crying because they suspected him of being a tzaduki. Now, it happens to be that if this particular Kohen didn't cry after the meeting, that'd probably be a bad sign. But as we know, during the Bayis Sheni, so the tzaduki were prevalent. We're going to see anecdotal evidence to that in today's daf. So he walked away and he was crying. V'heim prushin abochin. Now the Beis Din also were crying as well. Now over here it seems to be that the shvua was made by the shluchei kohanim, the ziknei kohuna. But whatever, whoever were the group who made a shvua, so they were crying as well. So why? D'amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi kol achoshe b'ksherim loke begufo. Because they suspected somebody who may not need to have been suspected. You're choshe b'kasher, so you're loke begufo. Rashi brings down over here. We know from Moshe Rabbeinu, says regarding Klal Yisrael, hein lo yaminu bi, they're not going to believe me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hey, can you do me a favor? Take your hand and put it into your jacket, and comes out and says, Saras. And that's one of the sources that tells us that you're choshe b'ksherim loke begufo. You're going to physically suffer if you suspect somebody who you should not suspect. Fine, so that's why everyone's crying. Okay, so now, of course, under normal circumstances, there wouldn't be suspicion, but because of the historical times, so there was. The kokach lama shalita came mebachutz ve'yichanes kederch shatzdukin osin. And all this because there was a major debate between the tzdukim and the prushim, and this is now going to be the first time in the Masechta that we're spelling it out. We're actually going to spell it out in more detail a little bit later on in the Masechta as well, but here we are now detailing what was a key point of dispute between the tzdukim and the prushim. So as far as the prushim are concerned, meaning that's us, that's the traditionalists, we have the Torah Shebichtav, we also have the Torah Shebaalpeh, So we have a Masorah in terms of what we're supposed to do. The Kohen Gadol goes with the Ketorah is into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and then lights it on fire. Right? And the cloud coverage and the smoke is going to be created after the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Purushim on the other hand, the Tzdukim on the other hand, so their reading of the Pasuk would seem to indicate to them that no, that you go in with the smoke. You first burn, you first light, then you go in. Okay, so, and we're, and later, not now, but later we're going to cover the Pesukim and we're going to talk about how each one is reading the Pesukim. But again, ultimately we are correct because we are working with the Masorah. We have the Torah Shabbat Peh. So however we're reading the Pesukim, we are bolstered by the fact that it's part of our Masorah. Okay, and again, that's the general theme of the Tzdukim is that they reject the Masorah. They reject the Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? Another simple, basic example of a machlokus between the Tzdukim and the Purushim is when to have Shavuos. So the Tzdukim says that, look at the Pasuk, this week's Parsha. So we're going to be laying tomorrow in Shul Mimachras HaShabbos, that we start counting the Omer the day after Shabbos, meaning we count it on Sunday, right? Now that's not right, meaning we have a Masorah. And we know that Mimachras HaShabbos is a reference to the first day of Pesach. But again, without the Masorah, if you reject the Masorah and all you want to do is just read the Pesukim and read them literally, so you start counting the Omer on Sunday. So again, another major debate that occurred between the Tzdukim and the Purushim, and they're just a couple of examples. Many other examples. Tan Rabban, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, Maisa B'Tzduki Echa, Sheitkim Mibachutz V'Ichnis. So there was the Tzduki who was acting as the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now confirmed, right? In other words, here we have a Braisa that says unequivocally that it happened, that a Kohen Gadol served as the, I'm sorry, a Tzduki served as a Kohen Gadol. And so here in this particular episode that we are, that we're privileged to learn about, so it was most unfortunate. So what he did is that he lit the Ketoros and he had it smoking before he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now mind you, by the way, no one's able to see it, meaning that it was done in the Heichal. There was no one else in the Heichal. And so fine. So that's what he did. V'ichnis, v'yitziyaso hayasamech simcha gadola. And, when he came out, he was so happy. Okay, in other words, the Tzdukim, right, it's something that is obviously...
So I was about to say,
so he was religiously motivated, right? He legitimately thought that he was doing the correct thing. And so he felt that now the Tzdukim, they have it right. So, and he was so happy when he comes out. Pagabo Aviv and his father met with him. Okay. So his father meets with him. Amalo b'ni, afa pishit zdukim anu, misyarim anu min aprushim. Also over here, by the way, you see the tense kind of relationship that they had. Meaning that you would think that the Purushim would be afraid of the Tzdukim. That may be true, but it also went in the other direction as well. The Tzdukim were afraid of the Purushim. So anu misyarim anu min aprushim. We're afraid of the Purushim. So the father says to him, look, obviously, the Tzdukim had a lot of political pull. They had people placed in the Kohen Gadol, so they were entrenched. But at the same time, however, so the father said to the son, look, congratulations, I'm really happy. You know, this is a win for the Tzdukim, if you will. But don't make such a big deal about it. Right? Word gets around that this is what you did, and the Purushim are going to be really unhappy with you. Amarlo kol yamai isi mitzal la mikra hazeh. So the son says back to the father, you know, my whole life, this is what I wanted to do. So, ki banan areel kaparis. The pasuk says that you go in with the cloud into the kaparis. Again, that's their reading of the pasuk. That's not our Masorah, but that's their reading. And he was religiously motivated. So, amarti masaya voli adave kaimenu. And he says, look, I was looking forward to this my whole life. Achshav, shabali adai loi kamenu. So, and now I had the opportunity. Of course, I'm going to do it that way. So Amrlo, how you yamim muatim achemes v'huta ba'ashpa v'ayu tolam yotzim michot mo v'yesh omrim b'yetzah nigaf. So a couple of versions of what happened to him in the end. One version of what happened to him in the end is that he died shortly thereafter, and his body was left in the garbage, and worms were coming out of his nose. Rashi writes over here it was coming out of his nose. So he says shu rishon le'evarm likanas. Labayis lefishu bolate. So the nose is the first thing that went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so that's why the onish started with the nose. The tolaim were coming out of his nose. Another version, V'yeshomrim. Yeah, right. I was thinking that as well. V'yeshomrim b'yitziyaso nigaf, and the some say that also he was struck as he was hit. Dini Rabbi Chia kimin kol nishma ba'azara. So a voice came out of the azara. Now, in the second version, by the way, it just makes it a little bit tricky in terms of when he had the conversation with his father. Because in the way the story was presented to us, so it presumably the conversation took place after he exited. So, whatever. You don't have to iron out every detail. But anyway, in the second version, we have a braiser, Rabbi Chia, kimin kol nishma ba'azara. So the sound came out of the zara. Shaba malch v'chadvo panav. And what happens is the malch comes and hits him right in his face. And a hoof print was found between his shoulder blades. And the pasuk in Yecheskel describing a malach, and the footprint of a malach is kikaf regel egel. It looks like the foot of a calf. Okay, this is well beyond my pay grade in terms of explanation. But the basic idea, however, is. Right, it's that obviously the malach was extraordinarily upset as he was not doing the avoda correctly. Right, that's not based on our mesora. Okay, Amar Reb Zechariah ben Kavutal. Okay, so we go back to the Mishnah. We talk about the reading material of the Kohen Gadol that evening. That evening, now it's Yom Kippur, and he wants to stay up the whole night. We want him to stay up the whole night. So what we're going to do is that we're going to entertain him. Now, entertainment, by the way, obviously comes in the form of Limud HaTorah. So he's going to be learning Torah all night, but you want to learn some of the more engaging and interesting parts of the Torah. So what is that? So, I teach high school for a living. So I wouldn't put this on the high school curriculum, but Sefer Iyov, Sefer Ezra, Divrei Hayamim, right? Those are the more entertaining, engaging parts of Tanakh, right? Halavai, we should be learning those things. Okay. We're not operating on the same Adrega. So anyway, but meanwhile, Iyov is philosophical and Ezra is all about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and the palace and Divrei Yamim, that's history. Right? Who doesn't find that interesting? Okay, good. So, and then the Mishnah goes on to describe Zechariah ben Kvutal. So he says that, I would read from Sefer Daniel. Okay. Good. So those are your selections, your preferred selections of what would keep the Kohen Gadol up at night. And the Gemara over here is going to go on a little bit of a tangent based on the following. Amar Zechariah ben Kvutal. Masni le Rav Chanan bar Rava, Lechia bar Rav, Kamei de Rav. So the following was taught in front of Rav. Amar Rabbi Zechariah ben Kvutal. So when saying over the Mishnah, so he said it over, but with one small deviation, and that is instead of saying Kvutal with a base, he said Kvutal with a pay. So umachve le Rabbi ade kivutal. So Rav is correcting, but he's not talking right now. So he's hand gesturing, and with a hand gesture, I guess he holds up a big base with his hand. Sounds that way. Anyway, but he would correct with a hand gesture. So v'nemale mamer. So the Gemara says, okay, so correction's in order. So why doesn't Rav correct verbally, orally? Why is he correcting with a hand gesture? So the Gemara says kriyashma havakari. So the Gemara says, yeah, because he was in the middle of kriyashma at the time. V'chia gavna. Mishare v'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta kares hashma lo yirmos beinav lo yikros b'sifsosav v'lo yireh be'etzbosav. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you're in the middle of Shema, no hand gestures, meaning you're not allowed to communicate at all with somebody else. Your kavana has to be strictly on the Shema. And so if you're hand gesturing in the middle of Shema, so you clearly are not having the requisite kavana necessary to properly say the Shema. So the Gemara says, I don't like the answer. So I get it. He can't talk right now because he's in the middle of Shema. He also can hand gesture as well. So the Gemara says, so I'm finding this to be an unsatisfying answer. V'tanya Rabbi Elazar chasma omer kore shema mir mazbeinav umikaretz besif sosav umar beetzvosav alav akasov. And on top of that, the Gemara really piles on. Gemara quotes the brisa b'shem Rabbi Elazar, that somebody who makes any kinds of gestures during shema, omer velo si karasi Yaakov, right? I'm not including him. Okay, so really strong words for somebody who's making gestures during shema and not having the requisite kavana. So lo kasha ha beperek rishon ha beperek sheni. So really fascinating answer of the Gemara over here. So there's a difference between the first paragraph of Shema and the second paragraph of Shema. And the way Rashi presents it, so that first paragraph of Shema, so there you need extra kavana. Now, good. So right. So we back in Bracha. So we pointed out it's a major machlokus amongst the Rishonim. What is the right? What is the basic minimum necessity to say Shema? So there was a Rashi over there in the beginning of Brachos that said it was the first paragraph, right? There was a Tosfos that says it's the first two paragraphs. There's a Rambam that says the first three paragraphs. When I say the first three, I mean all three. So, and how the Rambam reads our Gemara over here would be a little bit difficult. Okay. For our purposes right now, it's just sufficient to say that there are levels of Kavanah that you have to have during Shema. It's clear from our Gemara. And Rashi says it even more clearly. Rashi writes over here, Beperek Rishon, so tzarich bo kavanah shenamar vayu advarei ma'ila al levavecha. So the in the first paragraph of Shema, so it says that you have to have kavanah. So so for that first paragraph of kavanah, of Shema, you need extra kavanah, which means no gesturing whatsoever. And then after that, it sounds like from the Gemara that a gesture would be okay. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan. Let's quickly. No, all right. Very good. The Tana Rabbanan v'dibarta bam, bam v'lo b'tfila, v'dibarta bam yeshachav rishus l'daber. Okay, so the I'm sorry, v'lo b'dvar macherim. Let me go one by one. Right, I ran over. So v'dibarta bam. So we're going to make a number of drushes from the word bam. First one is bam v'lo b'tfila. So number one is that it has to be bam v'lo b'tfila. Now the interesting Rashi over here, bam v'lo b'tfila. So Rashi says that when you say the Shema, so you have to say it loud enough so you can hear. That's the Vidibar Tabam. But when you get to Tefillah, so no, you don't have to say it that loud. Shehat Tefillah, Rashi writes over here, Shehat Tefillah Balacha, Shenemar, Vikola Lo Yishma. So we know by Chana. So it says, the Pasuk says, that her voice wasn't heard. Kach Matzasi B'Shiltos Derev Achai Gaon. Rashi quotes the Shiltos. Good. That's the that's the Rashi over here. Even for Shemona Esrei, it still has to be loud enough where you're able to hear it. But yeah, in other words, there is going to be a degree of volume that you need for Shema that you do not need for Shemona Esrei. It's that you shouldn't have for Shemona Esrei. So that is all pshat number one of the Gemara. Bam v'lo b'tfila. V'dibarta bam second drasha. Bam yeshlecha v'rishus l'daber v'lo b'dvar macherim. So we have permission to talk, but we have permission to talk and learning. We could talk Torah, but we really don't have permission to have other discussions as well. Right? Rashi, Sichas Hayiladim, Vikalos Rosh, immature conversation, right? Frivolous conversations, so that we really do not have permission to speak in. Okay? Obviously, it's a goal. It's obviously an extraordinarily difficult goal to just be speaking in Torah all the day, but that's a goal. Rabbi Acha Omer v'dibarta bam aseh osam keva v'la'al ta'aseh arai. V'dibarta bam means that the Torah should be our keva, right? It shouldn't be like off to the side we're learning, but it should really be our primary focus. Amar Rav asach tzichas chulin over ba'aseh. The Gemara over here speaks about how really idle speak is something that we should not be involved in. So over here in one version of Rava, so that if you speak tzichas chulin, so you're in violation of aseh. Shenemar v'dibarta bam. Bam v'lo b'dvar macherim. So the Torah tells us that any conversations that we should be having is in Torah and not in other matters. Rav Acher bar Yaakov Amar over Balav. Rav Acher bar Yaakov goes even one step further. It's a violation of Balav in the Torah. Shenemar kol advarim yigeim lo yuchal ish ledaber. Anything that any kind of worn out conversation, meaning non Torah conversations, so you shouldn't engage in. Okay, so it's an asay. It's a lav. It's serious. Again, it's a goal. So obviously to be speaking. Yeah, good, very good.
My father always says,
wait, let me wrap it up, and then afterwards I'm on record right now. The people expect a summary. You know that I've trained them well. Okay, so quickly let's quickly summarize our Gemara over here. And okay, good. So so we started off this morning with just following up the Mishnah from yesterday's daf. The Mishnah yesterday's daf. We talked about how the Zikanim were handing the Kohen Gadol over from the Zikne Beis and the Zikne Kahuna. He went to the Beis Avtinas and he made a Shvuah. that he was going to do everything correctly. So we filled in a lot of the gaps in the Mishnah in today's daf. So the first gap that we filled in, Beis Aftinas, where does that come from? Where's the Beis Aftinas? So what we learned in the first half of today's daf is that there was a second office to the Kohen Gadol, and in fact was a Beis Aftinas, and there he will learn the Chafina. And in today's daf, what we established is that the Kohen Gadol had two office spaces, one in the north of the Azara, one in the south of the Azara. One was the Lishkas Parhejin, and one is in the Beis Aftinas. And the only thing that we did not confirm by the end of the first half of today's daf is with the Parhejin in the south and the Beis Aftinas in the north, or the opposite. The most likely presentation, which the Gemara did not conclude is absolutely correct, but the most likely presentation is that Parhejin's in the south and the Beis Aftinas is in the north. That's the that's where we ended off on the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf. So our Mishnah makes it sound like the Kohen Gadol is acting as our shliach. A major discussion in the Gemara Nedarim, and isn't our Gemara over here just simply taking one side of the issue that he's our shliach, not shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To which the Gemara says, no, our Mishnah is just simply talking about the Shvua. The Shvua is al datenu, not the actual Avoda itself. So everyone will walk away from that Shvua crying. So the Gemara goes on to describe, yeah, because the Kohen Gadol was suspected of being a Tzduki, that made him really uncomfortable. And we were Choshe B'Ksherim, meaning hopefully he wasn't a Tzduki, which means that we suspected somebody who we shouldn't have suspected. Okay, so so that's why everyone walks away crying. And then, a Tzduki serving as Kohen Gadol, doing the avoda as he saw fit, and we talked about his reveling in that moment, and we talked about his demise. And then finally, in the Mishnah, it said Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal was the one who actually studied with the Kohen Gadol Sefer Daniel on Lo Yom Kippur. One of the Amoraim in front of Rav said Kifutal with a pay, not the way we have it with a base. And Rav corrected him by doing a hand gesture. Why hand gesture? Because he was in the middle of Shema. So you're allowed to hand gesture in the middle of Shema? You're not allowed to? Gemara made a distinction between the first paragraph of Shema and the second paragraph of Shema. Adkan.